Minnie and Mary Alice Ralph were two of the many black girls given a non-consensual sterilization procedure in the South due to their mental disabilities. Through misinformation, their mother unknowingly signed away their lives to sterilization, believing that they would be gaining access to birth control. Their case was one of many notable issues of sterilization abuse conducted against black girls and women. My name is Devin Marino. Let's talk about how Dobbs is a critical moment in the regression of equal rights for people of color. The Ralph sisters' story is one of sterilization abuse, a type of abuse that takes advantage of the inability to consent to reproductive care and ends in a forced or coerced procedure resulting in permanent sterilization. This form of reproductive abuse affected many women of color prior to Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey. And with the decision of Dobbs in the summer of 2022, we must look back in time at the dark history of reproductive health care to understand how this decision will affect people of color for the foreseeable future, and how history is doomed to repeat itself. To begin, let's dive back into the civil rights era. According to Adele Clark, non-consensual sterilization of black women and girls was performed in the South up until at least the 1960s. Beverly Smith, in Choosing Ourselves, Black Women and Abortion, discusses how dangerous illegal abortion was pre-Roe v. Wade. Black and Latina women are the majority of women who are affected by HIV/AIDS, Smith recounts, and Smith noted how they were often forced into sterilization because of their high risk or their status as HIV positive. Without abortion and contraceptive protections, women of color were at high risk of being coerced legally or socially into sterilization. Well, how does this apply to modern settings? According to Smith, sterilization is often funded by states, and most sterilization procedures are covered by Medicaid. Prior to Roe v. Wade being overturned, this was a subtle nudge away from abortions, which were not covered by Medicaid. This coverage of sterilization made hysterectomies and other forms of sterilization much more attractive than abortions from an economic standpoint for working class women. Working class women are more likely to be women of color, so this sterilization is much more accessible to them than abortion. Right-wing conservatives use coercion to get low-income women and women of color to support them, focusing their forces on fear-mongering while claiming to oppose sterilization abuse. In an article from 2000 titled Cracking Open Crack, Unethical Sterilization Movement Gains Momentum, a program called Child Requiring a Caring Community, in which community is spelled with a K, or CRACK, used subtle sterilization abuse in order to coerce women who suffer from addiction into getting dangerous and permanent sterilization procedures. Their method of coercion was financial manipulation, promising $200 to women who were addicted and could show proof of sterilization from a doctor. Now, how does this affect communities of color? Well, CRACK aimed its first ads in Black and Latina communities in Los Angeles, and their data showed that the women taking advantage of their services were disproportionately women of color. Simultaneously, they were taking advantage of women in poverty, who were incentivized by the $200 offered for sterilization. Another right-wing tactic overtly states that racial minorities are inferior, linking sterilization abuse back to a racist history of eugenics. The article notes that CRACK does indeed believe in eugenics, as their philosophy is based on the idea that no child should have to be disabled educationally or physically based on their parents' usage. I know what you're thinking. How is this legal? Technically, it isn't. In the Ralph v. Weinberger case, coercion and uninformed consent to sterilization was ruled prohibited. And if you're noticing something familiar, that's because Ralph v. Weinberger is the case that was brought to the federal government on behalf of the Ralph sisters. So, how is CRACK even allowed to operate? Unfortunately, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, Ralph v. Weinberger bans the use of specifically federal funds for coerced or forced sterilization, and CRACK is a private organization. So, what does this past and this present mean for the future of reproductive justice and women of color? Well, firstly, CRACK still exists It just now is under the name Project Prevention, and they still use cash incentives. Also, with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, states once more have jurisdiction over the female reproductive system, and organizations like Project Prevention suddenly have more appeal. This decision primarily affects working-class women, women of color, and people with disabilities. The supposed choice of being sterilized or getting pregnant is a form of subtle sterilization abuse, where the abuse is not legally non-consensual, but there is underlying abuse involved. According to Clark, blatant abuse is illegal sterilization that is against the victim's will, while subtle sterilization abuse is technically legal, but there is underlying abuse involved, often social. In the case of crack, there is subtle sterilization involved, as the women have the supposed choice in order to get financial compensation while they are struggling financially and with their addiction. According to African American Women for Reproductive Freedom, African American women are well acquainted with reproductive rights being stripped from them, from being forced to have children to being forced into sterilization. Finally, the Dobbs decision places women of color into an incredibly risky position in regards to intimate partner violence. According to Elizabeth Tobin Tyler in A Grim New Reality, Intimate Partner Violence After Dobbs and Bruin, lack of access to reproductive health care for women, and especially working class women, puts them in a place of danger to be manipulated using reproductive coercion. And, of course, this is more likely to happen to Black, Indigenous, and Latina women. So, with the Dobbs decision and the removal of Roe v. Wade, let's pay close attention to how women of color are being treated both institutionally and personally. Where governments and legal protections fail, we must find strength in community and in knowledge of our past and present. This has been Listening for Reproductive Justice for SWAG 150. I'm Devin Marino. Thank you for listening.